So we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 17, text number 91. Okay. So I actually will read text number 90 and 91, but we'll chant 91 together. So I'll read verse number 90. Translation. One day the Lord ordered Srivas Thakur to read the Brihat Sahasranam, the thousand names of Lord Vishnu, for he wanted to hear them at that time. Okay, text number 91. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As he read the thousand names of the Lord, in due course, the holy name of Lord Nrisimha appeared. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the holy name of Lord Nrisimha, he became fully absorbed in thought. Purport. The Chaitanya Mangala Madhyakanda describes this incident as follows. Srivas Pandit was performing the Shraddha ceremony of his father, and as is customary, he was hearing the thousand names of Lord Vishnu. At that time, Gaur Hari, Lord Chaitanya, appeared on the scene, and he also began to hear the thousand names of Vishnu with full satisfaction. When he thus heard the holy name of Lord Nrisimha, Lord Chaitanya became absorbed in thought, and he became angry like Nrisimha Prabhu in his angry mood. His eyes became red, his hair stood on end, all parts of his body trembled, and he made a thundering sound. All of a sudden he took up a club, and people became greatly afraid, thinking, "We do not know what kind of offense we have now committed." But then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu adjusted his thoughts and sat down on his seat. Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagujatam Zagana Raghunatam Vitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Virjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this chapter is entitled Pastimes of the Lord in His Youth. Actually, before we begin, requesting the blessings of the Vaishnavas so we can speak something that will be pleasing to Prabhupada, the previous Acharyas, by your mercy. Okay, so interesting two verses. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is hearing the Brihat Sahasranam, the thousand names of Lord Vishnu, and he goes into a certain mood. He heard the names of Lord Nrisimha, and he becomes fully absorbed in thought. In fact, it goes on to say in the next few verses that in that mood, he runs out and he's looking for all the atheists to kill them. Yeah, it's actually literally what it says in the next few verses. It is our great fortune to have some acquaintance with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, knowledge of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But even more uniquely, it is our extraordinary and causeless mercy to come in touch with the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When we look at this particular pastime, there's a few things we can bring out. Because he's become absorbed in the thought of Lord Nisimha, and in that mood, he has a certain activity, and this is instructive. Every type of mood leads to a certain activity. The two things are deeply correlated. Nisimhadev is the form of the Lord who gives protection, fearlessness, and strength. At the same time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-powerful, so he can give anything. So why do we make this differentiation? It is because when he's in a particular mood, a particular form, he's more inclined to give something. Yeah? So when the Lord is in the form of Lord Nisimhadev, he's more inclined to give protection, fearlessness, and strength, although any incarnation of the Lord can give anything that he so pleases. So Lord Nisimhadev also has this mission, this killing of the atheists. Our scriptures are such that everything has a subtle and gross component. On the superficial reading, yes, killing the atheists, that means those who do not believe in God. That is the gross understanding. The subtle understanding is actually much more deep than that. Because atheism is a spectrum. Atheism is a spectrum. And therefore, as sadhakas, we can also be on that spectrum of atheism. Yeah? Because actually, the depth of our faith is concomitant or synonymous with the depth of our surrender. So we can actually consider the degree to which we also do not believe in the shelter of the Supreme Lord by the degree to which we fail to surrender ourselves to that same Supreme Lord. Right? So we are also on that atheism spectrum. Because we also have that degree to which, yes, I accept that there's a Supreme Lord, but I don't fully trust him. Therefore, I will do something towards Krishna, but I will keep something back from Krishna at the same time. And so in one sense, we are extremely lucky that Lord Chaitanya has the mood that he has. This is actually one of the major themes of our tradition, Gaudiya Vaishnavism. The major theme is just the extraordinary mercy of the Lord. Yeah? Just the extraordinary, causeless mercy of the Lord. So when you consider that in the mood of Lord Nisimhadev, there is this tendency to just want to kill those who do not believe in the Lord, then we consider the fact that we are on the spectrum, then the question comes up, do I want Krishna to be just? Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shri Shri Gonitai, Guru Parampara Srila Prabhupada Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. The question comes up again and again in our spiritual lives. Do you want Krishna to be just? Right? Do you want the Lord to be fair? Now, in many cases in our spiritual life, we will consider, yes, I want Krishna to be fair. Someone's done something and it wasn't right. Krishna should make sure that they know that that's not unacceptable. But as we reflect upon the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the truth of the matter is, if we're really honest, we actually don't want Krishna to be fair. We really want Krishna to be merciful. You see the difference? Because at least reflecting on my life, if Krishna's fair, I'm not even in the race. You understand the point? If Krishna's gonna, if it's gonna be like, okay, what you actually deserve, we don't even belong here. That is a fact. Right? If Krishna's giving us what we deserve, we wouldn't be here. Right? We really therefore need, and we live on the deep and causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these differences in mood, as exhibited by the different forms of the Lord, they are instructive for us. Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, but in the mood and luster of Srimati Radharani. There is a lecture that Prabhupada gives on Radhastami. It's a lecture he gave before Sri Sri Radha Landanishwara, and he refers to Radharani as Jagan Mata. Right? Jagan Mata. And this mood, the mother. Now, when we understand that, what do we mean? But the mother is very, very merciful. That mood of the mother is extraordinarily merciful. So when Krishna is absorbed in that mood, he has come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, even his darshan is different. So, I have this Ugra Nrisimha deity. And I was warned, you shouldn't worship Ugra Nrisimha. Because Ugra Nrisimha, all he sees is actually Hiranyakashipu, actually. Yeah? So, the consideration is, you may be in a bit of trouble, okay? Like that. Anyway, there's some subtleties to it. It's not quite like that. But we won't go into that now. That's for another class. But the Lord, because of the mood, he also has a darshan. There's a way that he sees the world, and there's a way that he sees those who are trying to come to him as well. And the pastime of Jagannath Madai is instructive in this sense. So Jagannath Madai, just very, very interestingly enough, they, being so sinful, are even ready to attack Nityananda Prabhu, who is just coming in maddened love of Godhead to give it to everyone, qualified, unqualified, literally he doesn't care. Right? He really has no care. But they're so crazy that even though he has come to give them the highest thing, they're unqualified, intensely unqualified. He's come to give them the highest thing, they attack him. What is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's response? He's ready to kill them. The very interesting dialogue that ensues is instructive for us. Lord Nityananda tells him, he said, actually in Kali Yuga, everyone is like that. So if you're going to kill them, you're going to have to kill everyone. Right? And that is a fact. If you're going to kill these people, if you want to be fair, you kill them. Everyone has the same mentality. So you're going to have to kill everyone. Better that we deliver them. Now, we hear the pastimes of the Lord, but the real thing is, when you hear the past, you should reflect, what does that tell you about the mood of the Lord? Because when you reflect on the mood, then you can feel something for him. And Krishna consciousness is actually an affair of the heart. We want to feel something for the Lord. We want to feel something for the Lord. What this means for us is instructive. If everyone has that mood, including us as sadhakas, if we are also on that atheism spectrum, then what that means is that every single moment that we exist in this movement, every single moment that we exist with an opportunity to render service and to engage in Krishna consciousness is another gift of causeless mercy that we have absolutely no right to. You understand? That's the way that we are living our lives. We are living on mercy, moment by moment by moment. And actually, what that means is we don't deserve anything either. Now, we don't think like that on a day-to-day basis, but that is actually the fact. And the purpose of understanding that is not to put you down or not to put ourselves down, but it's to energize us, because you will always remember, my God, Krishna is so kind to me. Factually speaking, we're living on borrowed time and we are living on borrowed mercy. That is the other point. Because the avenue through which we have come to hear anything about this is our founder Acharya, his divine grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So on a day-to-day basis, on a moment-to-moment basis, we are being given a gift. And therefore, you can define intelligence by how by how willingly we take advantage of the gift. Yeah? Every moment of our lives is a gift. Because every moment of our lives we've been given opportunity to perfect the entire human experience and to go back home, back to Godhead once and for all. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's darshan is very unique. His darshan is to overlook all the bad and just to focus in on anything that is good. Right? Now that's it's an amazing vision, because actually if you see everything, it's mostly bad. You see, if you look in Kali Yuga, if you look at everything, it's mostly bad. Even in places where it's supposed to be traditional, spiritual, religious, it's mostly bad. The wonderful trick of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, it is like the arrangement of an intelligent demon. And what I mean by that is, in Kali Yuga, the nature of the material energy in Kali Yuga is it can take even those things which are auspicious and misuse them. Right? So, again, example. So, we can have Varnashram, okay? But Varnashram only works when people have not just the right behaviors, but when you dig into it, it is the right form, but it's also the right substance. In fact, anything traditional has these two counterparts. It has form and substance. It is even like the law. The law has the letter of the law, and then there is the spirit of the law. If you remove either of these two things, you're in trouble. Okay? A simple example. In the traditional Vedic system, you have the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. Now, the Brahmanas are meant to be the keepers of the truth. And so in traditional Vedic culture, the Brahmins are given a certain amount of respect. And they're meant to perform a certain function. But the moment you have someone in a position of authority who does not have the benevolence and the right mood, they become abusive. So you have this hierarchical structure, and you have people in different positions of power. And what are they going to do? I've got the power, but I don't have the correct consciousness. So all that means is, give it time, there's going to be abuse. You understand? So whenever there's hierarchy, but without benevolence, it leads to abuse. Where there's power, but there is not humility, it leads to abuse. Abuse of power. Now in Kali Yuga, because people are so enamored by... Because in Kali Yuga, people are gross. Everything subtle can't be seen. It's not perceived. So then what can happen is you get extremes. Either it's let's destroy any hierarchy, right? Because people have misused it. And it's true, people have misused it. So then you get one extreme, let's completely make everything flat, there's no hierarchy. But then it leads to certain problems. Or it's you keep the form, but you don't understand the substance behind the form. So then it becomes dysfunctional. Right? And it happens again and again and again in various ways. Because the symptom of Kali Yuga is people have lost touch with the deeper, more refined aspects of reality. So unless it's blatant and gross, no one can see anything. But spiritual life is meant to reverse that process. Spiritual life is meant to reverse that process. Is meant to give people an understanding, not only of how things are meant to be, not only of the form of something, but also the spirit behind it that makes that particular form work. So, I remember, to be really honest, I remember once writing to my spiritual master, and I was asking him, so you gave a class, and you were talking about, you know, how this Varnashram would save society. But in the class, you said that, Prabhupada, we're not ready for that yet, because if we try to institute that, in some places it will be misused. And we were having a dialogue around that particular point. Anywhere that there is power, but there isn't the proper consciousness, you have problems. So Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. And therefore, it requires a deep understanding, literally, of everything. When we apply Krishna consciousness, we are meant to apply Krishna consciousness in the deepest sense of the word. Even our literature is very interesting. The term Purana, right? That Sanskrit word, it comes from two words. Purana, Puranava, which means that which is old made new. So Purana isn't actually just a series of literatures. It is an approach to something. That which is old. What is old? What is old is the eternal timeless principles of Krishna consciousness. That which is old made new. Made new means what? Means that you are going to give this according to time, place, and circumstance. You are going to package this eternal teaching. You're not going to change the teaching. Because the teachings, the principles, they are the active ingredients. The moment you get rid of the active ingredients, your teaching has no potency. So you're not going to get rid of the active ingredients, but you are going to take the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is that if people can't understand this teaching, the first question is not, oh, they're in Maya and they're so fool and they're so foolish. The first question is, why am I so lacking in compassion that I cannot find a way to give this teaching in this person to make them come to Krishna consciousness? You understand? The first person that we look at when people do not take to these teachings is ourselves. The ways that we inculcate this teaching, one way is presenting it, right? Another way is living it. But you know what? The most powerful way that we present the teachings of Krishna consciousness is what you have imbibed. When someone is Krishna consciousness, see, Krishna, the pure devotee preaches, but just the presence of the pure devotee preaches. And sometimes he or she may say something as well. Right? So the primary transmission of Krishna consciousness is literally by the consciousness. When someone is enveloped or absorbed in Krishna consciousness, they just come into the room. They are carrying that devotion with them. It has an effect. We sometimes think it's all about the frontline preachers. It's all about the person who's deeply Krishna conscious. Believe me. Because that person will attract the mercy of Krishna. And that, as that mercy of Krishna floods the environment, it does everything. So the most important factor is how deeply absorbed and imbibed we ourselves are in Krishna consciousness. Here, this pastime is talking about how Lord Chaitanya became fully absorbed in thought. He hears the name, he becomes absorbed in thought. When you hear the name, or when I hear the name, I become absorbed in what? In sleep. Right? It's not good. Yeah. So we have to consider this. Krishna consciousness is a transmission of consciousness. There was a conversation with Srila Prabhupada, and someone was complaining how people, they're not coming to Krishna, they're not coming to God. He was told, they are not interested. And Prabhupada immediately challenged. He said, they are not interested, or you cannot interest them. It's a very high standard. But Puranava, that which is old, made new. The eternal teachings, the eternal ingredients, presented in a way that people will understand what they have been given, and they will actually come and they will take it. Because the truth of the matter is, Krishna consciousness is what everyone is looking for. Huh? It is what everyone is looking for. It is just that we have to think, how do we understand where they're coming from in order to present this so that they will understand and accept it? See, the difficulty is what? What is this point that Prabhupada makes? Prabhupada says everyone sees the world from their own perspective. What is that word? What is that quote? Manite jagat. Atmavam manite jagat. It is incredibly instructive because there is a science in our tradition called nimitta gyan. Nimitta gyan means the ability to understand something by its symptoms or omens, right? So this is one of the 64 arts that Krishna and Balaram learned in the Gurukul of Sandipani Muni. It's listed by Prabhupada in Krishna book. Now, that Nimitta Gyan, there's an underlying principle behind that, and that is that everything is, that we do is actually a symptom of our consciousness. For example, when we get into conflicts with people, oftentimes it's because we cannot put ourselves in that person's shoes. Someone who's highly Krishna conscious, they're fluidly able to put themselves in another person's position. It is a symptom of compassion. They can easily understand another person's position. Why? Because the person who's Krishna conscious has moved themselves out of the center. So for them, it's not that they have to have a technique to think, where is this other person coming from? When my consciousness on a day-to-day basis when my life is not all about me, you understand? When my life has an orientation where it's all about Krishna, because I'm already out of the center, it's easy to consider other people. It's easy. So therefore, automatically they're empathetic. Automatically they're compassionate. Automatically they can understand other people. Right? That's what we mean by nimitta. Every level of consciousness has its own symptoms. So when you see an individual, if you watch their behavior, you can immediately understand something about the level of consciousness. No one can hide it. No one can hide it. Similar thing, a pure devotee is always humble. It's not that they're trying to be humble. They're not practicing humility. They are humble. Because when you're feeling the presence of Krishna 24 hours a day, there's nothing to be proud of. You understand? It's like, okay, you have some knowledge, but Krishna knows everything. What is there to be proud of? You have some interesting technique on sharing Krishna consciousness, but Krishna knows, he's the source of all intelligence. What is there to be proud of? So every level of consciousness has its symptoms, its nimitta or its lakshana. Yeah? Very, very simple. And it can't be faked. It actually can't be faked. What we are transmitting is what we are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, the amazing thing, going back to this, is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, okay, I can see all these other things. Let's see the good. Let's pick out the good and let's encourage that. Prabhupada would often talk about fanning the spark. Yeah? There may be 100 bad things, one good thing. Okay, what should we focus on? Let's focus on the one good thing that's there, and see whatever we can do to maximize and to expand on that. This is the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is also, therefore, the mood of our acharyas. This is the mood of Srila Prabhupada. And they expect us to do the same thing. Yeah? That's the point. Ultimately, we have to understand that Krishna consciousness is lawless. It is absolutely, we didn't deserve any mercy, but it's come. It's lawless, right? The people you're giving that mercy to, Madhuri Kadambini explains that Krishna gives his mercy to his devotees to distribute on his behalf. And it explains that the partiality of such a devotee is not to be considered a fault. Literally, it says that. Extraordinary. That means that you are carrying as devotees a certain Kripa Shakti. You can intervene in the destiny of humanity. And ultimately, that is exactly what this movement is. This movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an intervention, a divine intervention in the material destiny of the world. And our mission, no less, is the mission to save the entire world, literally. Literally. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that this movement will go down in history as being the movement that saved the entire world. Did you get that point? Literally. The movement that saved the entire world. And then what is our role in this mission? As a movement, oftentimes we get into, sometimes, to be honest, and hopefully no one takes offense at this, Sometimes we get into ridiculous arguments. Ridiculous arguments over things that really, if people had any common sense, if we were sufficiently Krishna conscious, these arguments wouldn't occur. Going back to this point about getting ourselves out of the center. Think about that. Now, when you get yourself out of the center, let's take the reverse view. You have the mentality of a neophyte devotee, right? The tendency of the neophyte devotee is that whatever they're doing, they only think that it's the best. Now, they don't think it's the best because they're absorbed in it and they want to do something for Prabhupada. They think it's the best because they're absorbed in false ego and they want to think that I'm the best. Got it? So therefore, if you ask them for advice, they will not give what's good for you. They will always give what's best for them and also what profiles them, right? It's kind of like a walking Facebook profile. Whatever I'm doing, to be honest with you, Prabhupada, I found the quote by Prabhupada. He said that the ones who are the pujaris, they're the real devotees, right? The fact that I'm saying it on the altar, don't let that sway you. I'm not trying to imply anything about my status, right? Whatever they're doing, it's like that's the best. When someone is more Krishna conscious, then you see the behavior like Prabhupada. You're really concerned, where is this person in their spiritual journey? And most importantly, what is it that our Krishna, what is it that our Krishna wants of his devotee? They're not my devotee. They belong to Krishna. They're his part and parcel. What does our Krishna want of that person? Very easy when we're not thinking that we're the center of the universe. Very difficult when I think I'm the center of the universe. Because when I think I'm the center of the universe, then I think that everything is through my lens. Whatever I'm saying, whatever I'm doing, that's a real Krishna consciousness. These other people, they don't really have it. They haven't really worked it out. I know. I'm a Brahmana. Right? It's a very dangerous mentality to have. So when we talk about that, when we have that vision, things become very easy. Because when you look, it is often very easy to see that that you have this opportunity, this nature, this ability to serve, trying to use this in Krishna's service. Right? You are at this particular stage in your spiritual journey. Okay, let me help you to make the next step forward in your journey. It's your journey, it's not my journey. We're at different places. And this is actually what it means by being personal. So when we do less than that, when we see everything through our own lens, and when we tell other people to do what's good for us, not what's good for them, that's impersonalism. Because you're completely denying and you're completely taking away their own personal journey towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're completely overlooking that. So we have huge gifts. Even the gifts don't belong to us, but it's almost like someone gave you £1 million and said, go and see who you can make a lucky person, right? Go and see how many millionaires you can make. Here's a billion. Just go around and just make a few millionaires for me, right? That's the point. Now, the funny thing is, every single person that you give Krishna consciousness to, you get a blessing for helping them. You know, you have this kind of pyramid selling, right? Right, which is a scam, right? Krishna consciousness is like a divine scam. Go for it. Just give it out. You know, see who's going to take the money. And every person that you help, you get some benefit for. I mean, you can't ask for more than that. So many things are being given to us. It is, in one sense, it's ridiculous. The depth of this teaching. You will have other people. This is a funny thing. You'll have some people who are pulling in more effort in another religious path, to be honest, right? Pulling in more effort. But the quality of what you've been given is that for every unit of effort that you pull into this, it takes you much further. Even names that we chant, I mean, these names, these are very intimate names of Krishna. It is interesting, the contrast here. They're chanting the thousand names of Lord Vishnu, right? And that's purifying. It's got potency. It's the name of the Lord. But you know what? The name of Krishna is even more intimate. Even more intimate. And this speaks to very, very deep pastimes that the Lord has in his own spiritual abode. So this is not a religion, ladies and gentlemen. This is not religion. Religion means that you become moral, you become ethical, you may go to the church on a Sunday, right? You may wear the suit and the tie, you know, and your kids look really cute, and so, you sometimes see these kind of images, right? And I know in Africa, there's a huge, and what they're really trying to imply is if you're a Christian, hey, Christian's gonna take, you know, God's gonna take care of you, right? If you're a Christian, you can have a nice car, right? Seriously, and a really nice car. If you're Christian, you're gonna have really nice kids. And you know what? Even when they smile, their teeth are gonna look amazing, right? So the import is, if you're religious, you can have a really nice material life. And the fact that you've got a nice material life means that God really loves you. He's chosen you, right? The truth of the matter is, when you take to Krishna consciousness, literally, in some cases, all hell can break loose. No one tells you that when you join, right? But it's true. It's true. When you take to Krishna consciousness, literally all hell can break loose, especially if you're serious. Especially if you're serious. Yeah? Because then all the things that need to come up, all the attachments that need to be transcended so that you can go back home, back to Godhead in this life, they come up. They come up. So don't think it's an accident. This is a process of purification. This is what happens when we're chanting. This is what happens when we're associating with devotees. And this darshan, more and more this darshan occurs. This darshan, to survive, you have to see things differently. To survive, you have to consider that just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is merciful on me and I don't deserve it, actually, I have to also have that tolerance. I have to also have that humility towards other people. And it's not by deserving. It is because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said so, and he's giving me that same favor. So I have to also distribute that. And that distribution isn't outside to the world only. It is in the association of the Vaishnavas as well. Got it? It can sometimes be seen to be more a profiling thing to preach outside. Actually, you're meant to preach everywhere. Inside and outside. Got it? Because we are a spiritual community. The two things, again, are seamlessly one. Because sometimes the question is, we may go out, I've got an idea, we can really spread Krishna consciousness in the world. Okay, wonderful. But think about this. When you go and get all these wonderful people and you bring them to Krishna consciousness, what are you bringing them to? What exactly are you bringing them to? We've got all these people. They're really excited about Krishna consciousness. Okay, where you can take them? Why don't we take them to this location? Well, I'm not really sure, Prabhu, because the devotees there can be a little bit like this, a little bit like that. I can't bring them there. Okay, what about here? Let me get back to you. That's not good. That's not good. I hear that conversation from devotees sometimes. Yes, I've got this person, but I'm careful about who I bring them to, where I bring them. That's not good. That's actually really poor. The idea is that preaching and living Krishna consciousness are a seamless, integrated continuum. So, in the outside world, they talk about the customer experience, okay? The customer experience. Sometimes we can do all these wonderful programs. They look really wonderful. You greet the people. You're smiling at them. You like them. They like you. You say a few nice words. You care about them. They feel, oh my God, these people are amazing. They care about me. They're nice. They're smiling. You know, he's not even got dandruff. It's transcendental. Okay? Wonderful beginning experience. But if what you take them to is something different, they're going to immediately think, but what happened? Like, but when I went to the programs, it was wonderful. When I came here, it's are they two different, you know, are they two different movements or something? What is going on here? Yeah. So we need to make sure that this is a seamless experience. You can't say that we're going to do outreach and we're not going to do inreach. Because the two things are one seamless experience. So we have to make sure that everything is good. And it's not, and don't fall into this trap of thinking it's the authorities. It's you. Do you understand? It's not our Krishna consciousness movement. This is our movement. It doesn't matter who's in charge. This movement belongs to us. Every single devotee is a member of this movement, and therefore every single devotee has a responsibility to make the movement what it's meant to be. Because I don't know about you, but I wouldn't even, if Prabhupada was here, I wouldn't even dare come to Prabhupada and say the reason why it's not good is because someone else, because some other person. Because I know he's going to turn around and say, all right, but what did you do? Oh, but Prabhupada, it wasn't my fault. It's the authorities. Okay, what did you do? We have the circle of concern, circle of influence. Focus on what you can do. Yeah? Because otherwise what happens is you'll develop a victim mentality. And the victim mentality is just another way of playing God. They didn't do this right. They didn't treat me properly. You know, they didn't understand who I was. They didn't provide me facility. Okay, but what did you do? You always want to be able to sleep at night knowing that you did the best that you could. Got it? You did, given whatever circumstances, and the circumstances are not an accident either. The reason why we want to have that mentality is because actually we are responsible for the circumstances we're in. Either I'm responsible for the circumstances I'm in, or Krishna is unfair. Yeah? And I don't want to say that Krishna's unfair. I'm hoping to find a middle ground. No, I'm responsible for the circumstances I'm in, or Krishna is unfair. Yeah? That's it. A or B. It's binary. I'm responsible or Krishna is unfair. Let us therefore make the most of whatever situations that he has allowed us to be in. Okay? And that free will is exciting. The more you feel like this, the more empowered you actually become. So for many of us, we're giving away our power. And this is, don't get me wrong, this is not a self-help thing. It's not like, yeah, I can do anything and everything, I'm the God. No. No. You can't do anything without Krishna's grace, but you can try. You can try your best to serve. We have the opportunity 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make the endeavor. Yeah? And even when Krishna gives a different challenging situation, Tesham Satata Yuktanam, Bhajatam Pritipurvakam, the Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti Te. When he's giving that situation, he is also giving an opportunity to get the intelligence through our association, through our prayer, through our devotion to find a way forward. Yeah? Krishna consciousness is like a transcendental adventure. One adventure after another adventure after another adventure. Okay, Krishna's given me ability. Okay, so that devotee, he doesn't want to cooperate with the preaching plan. Okay, let's think about this. What does scripture say about this? Okay, first of all, make sure you have the right consciousness. All right, we can be compassionate about this. Okay, at the same time, how do we help him to understand that we want to do this for the benefit of society and to spread Krishna? Okay, how can I engage with him? Okay, let me build a relationship. Let me understand where he's coming from. Prabhu, what are your reservations? I get it. You're a devotee, I'm a devotee. We're both trying to be Krishna conscious. We're both in the same movement. I want to understand where you're coming from. Okay, I don't think that that's the right way forward. I think that's a bit too far. I think we should take it this way, and this is why. Okay, I get it. Now, I was thinking that we should do it this way. What does the scripture say about that? What does Guru Sadhu Shastra say about that? Yeah. How do we apply the various options that our tradition gives? Which of these various options are the most suitable for this specific situation? Okay. Let's look at this together. Instead of me versus you, let's look at us to see how we can actually move this agenda forward. So it's just one exciting opportunity after another exciting opportunity to both imbibe the Lord's mercy and to share the Lord's mercy with others. The other wonderful thing, and I'll just maybe end on this point, is Krishna's amazing personality. Once you've come to Krishna consciousness, I mean, literally, you're Krishna. You know, he's like, okay, she's mine, or he's mine. He doesn't let you go, right? He's got that kind of nature. The more you reflect, even in your own life, you can kind of see Krishna's action in your life, right? Not just the way he works in your life. You get a sense of Krishna's. He's got a sense of humor. You sometimes just do something and think, "Wow, okay, that was cool." You know, he's got a sense of humor. Krishna's cleverness. I was in a discussion yesterday evening. Two devotees who were born in the movement, right? I mean, and you see, when you sometimes see those who are born in the movement, I mean, these people, they're just powerful people. I mean, I was there. We used to serve together in the preaching project, and then kind of, by their own admission, kind of got into a few other things and so on. But they contacted me recently, and so we met up yesterday evening, and just two very powerful people. And they explained all of these different circumstances that they'd gone through, right? So they'd kind of maybe not engaged as much in their Krishna consciousness. And Krishna, it was classic Krishna, right? Literally, it's a classic Krishna strategy. So he just let the material energy, literally in one sense, just beat them up a bit, right? Because he knew if the material energy beats them up a bit, what are they going to do? They're going to go straight for their bead bag. I mean, the hand was deep in the bead. It's deep, right? It was clutching strongly to the bead bag. That, you understand that kind of program, right? And they were talking about how they want to get back into Krishna consciousness more, and they want to go to the programs more, and all this kind of stuff. Classic Krishna strategy, right? Because once you've come to Krishna, he's not letting you. You can't go anywhere. He's like that. He's a bit possessive. You're mine. We have a relationship. You're not going anywhere. Okay, if you don't want to dive in, okay. You want to do a bit of searching around material, okay. I'm telling you it's a bad idea. But you don't listen to me. I'm God. I'm telling you it's a bad idea. Nah, Krishna, you don't understand. Excuse me, I'm God. What do you mean you don't understand? Oh, okay, go for it. Just get burnt. At the end, you either directly surrender or the material energy burns you, then you surrender. Either way, you're going to surrender. Yeah? It's like a maze. There's only one way out. You can go left, you can go right, do what you want. But if you want to get out of the maze, there's only one way out. It's designed that way. There's only one way out of the maze. And that is to become Krishna conscious. Fully Krishna conscious, by the way. Yeah? One way out. That maze was made by Krishna. He knows what he's doing. Right? See, it's a classic Krishna strategy. And you can understand, they could understand that even throughout this entire experience, he was there with them, just arranging to help them to come back. And they came back, which is what he arranged in the first place, because whatever he wants, it's going to happen. Yeah? So really, if you think about it, what it means is that if we're intelligent, you may as well just go there anyway. Yeah? You may as well just go in that direction anyway. When Krishna wants something, it's going to happen. He wants you to come back home, back to Godhead. So you may as well just come back to Godhead. It's less painful. Believe me, it is much less painful. Anyway, these are just some thoughts. One last thing on this point from this verse. So it talks about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hearing the holy name became fully absorbed in thought. There is an interesting correlation that Prabhupada makes between lifestyle and meditation. Right? He talks about how for someone to be wrapped in attention, they have to have the right kind of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. What it means basically is your lifestyle affects your absorption. Make sense? The way that you live Krishna consciousness relates or feeds into how you become absorbed in your Krishna consciousness. So every single interaction with the devotees and the way that we position ourselves in our lives. I mean, it's interesting. Again, these devotees, they were speaking about the lifestyle that they were leading, how stressful it was. Right? They can do it. And I mean, like I said, these are just powerful people. They were both, I think both of them are managers in their, you know, they're in their field. They're in senior positions. just by being around, I could feel like incredibly intelligent, sharp, perceptive. I mean, you just name it. It was just like a list of opulences because they're devotees. You know, they're just devotees. They carry that naturally. Just these really, I mean, extraordinary qualities. But those qualities are gifts from Krishna, which are meant to be offered back to that same Supreme Lord, you know? And it just got me thinking, we have a misconception. And this is one thing that we have to be really careful of as a movement. When we come to the movement, there is this quote that gets bandied around, and it's true. Prabhupada does say you can just add Krishna. But if you've been practicing Krishna consciousness for 20 years and you're still just adding Krishna, there's something wrong. Right? Do you get that point? That's a starting point. It's not meant to be like that for 20, 30 years, that you're still adding Krishna. It means you didn't understand the process. Yeah? Over time, it's meant to be more and more Krishna. Yeah? That's the point. So, this idea that I can do anything I want and it's still going to be, and I'm still going to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness, you're wrong. That's not actually our teachings. Our teachings is that if you're adding Krishna properly, then over time, progressively, the taste of adding Krishna is so sweet that you want to add a bit more, right? Then the taste of adding Krishna is so sweet, you want to add a bit more. Because if you're adding Krishna properly, what it means is you're experiencing how this ever-sweet, youthful, ever-youthful, fresh, interesting, clever, funny, attractive, eternally young, supreme personality of God, it is going to reciprocate with you. And if you're getting reciprocation from Krishna, you'll be like, damn, this is wonderful. He's cool, he's got a great sense of humor. I even like the way he dresses. And you're going to want to have more of that association. So if after 20 years you're still adding Krishna, it means you're doing something wrong. Because if you're adding him properly, your life is bound to change. Again, everything has its symptoms. Everything has its symptoms. Yeah? Tamal Krishna Maharaj had a conversation with Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, I was in India. I was on a train. I was sitting down. And I saw, and it was a bit crowded. There was one space next to me. I saw one gentleman. There was enough space for him to sit. So I called him over to come and sit down. Right? He said, the gentleman obliged. He came and sit down. Then the gentleman called his wife. And she sat next to him. And there was a bit, you know, less space. Then she called the kids. Right? And I say, kids, plural. You get it? They all squeezed in and they forced Tamal Krishna Maharaj out of his seat. And Prabhupada said, yeah, that's Maya. You give her an inch, she'll take over the entire thing. But you know what's funny about that? She got the strategy from Krishna. If you apply Krishna consciousness properly, he's going to take over. Yeah? And that kind of takeover, that's the type of takeover that you're looking for. Okay, so we'll stop there. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Janitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.